All the special readings, okay, in 40 minutes, no problem. Deuteronomy 31, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. We read up to what I'm going to read. And we're also going to end with this. But again, it's really interesting how this particular reading falls on this particular day. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Remember that this is Deuteronomy. This was Moses' farewell speech. This is being given to the children of Israel just before they crossed the Jordan and went into the promised land. After 40 years. We'll do the 40 years at Sukkot. Okay, that's now finished. They're now crossing into the land. Manna is going to stop. They got to go to work, got to plant farms and so on. But they also heard rumors about armies over there, you know, fighting, wars, stuff like that. Here's kind of the final encouragement. This was to them, but some of this is for some of you. So pay attention. I love this verse, verse 8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. Now, right there, just a couple of comments. Keep in mind that in 40 years, how did they know where to go and when to go anywhere? The cloud started moving, okay? The cloud's about to disappear because the Lord says, okay, see the Jordan River? Everything across there is yours. No more need of a cloud. Go, this is a go now. Go there now. But you know, without the cloud, wait a minute, before we saw you going before us, he's saying, you know what, I'm still going before you, just in the same way. I will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear and don't be discouraged. That is a word from God to you today. That is. And single women in the congregation, I have a word for you. All right? This little part here in the verse 8 where it says, he will not leave you or forsake you. Okay? The right man, when he comes into your life, is going to say that to you. He's going to say, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never, never abandon you. When we sit down for the first of several, probably many, pre-marriage counseling sessions, and if I hear, well, we're going to try it out for a while and see how it works, I'm not going to do your wedding. Okay, know that. I want to hear this. I am promising you that I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never abandon you. Girls, that's the promise you need to have from a man, that'll keep his word to you. Anyway, I love that verse. Let's move on to Hosea. Okay, we had an interesting reading there this morning from the end of Hosea. But we always read the end of Hosea. You know, come back, O Israel. O Israel, return to the Lord your God. And this Shabbat Shuvah, that's what it said. That is Shuvah, return, okay? However, let's think in terms of Hosea from a different perspective today. I jumped into Hosea on this one. All right, at the beginning of Hosea, and I'm walking through the whole book this morning in about 15 minutes here. Hosea is an interesting prophet. Hosea was a prophet chosen by God to dramatize God's message to Israel. You know, Jeremiah did that. Jeremiah did some strange things as drama. Hosea is chosen by God to dramatize before Israel something. He does it by marrying a woman who would be unfaithful to him. These are God's instructions for him. You know, God says, Hosea. He probably said, Hineni. Isaiah said that. I'll have that too. Hineni, here I am. And Lord, I'll do whatever you want. I'll go anywhere you want. Do whatever you want me to do because I'm your servant, Lord. Good. God says, I want you to illustrate the relationship between my people and me. Okay? Okay, good. And you're going to be the illustration. It's going to be you. Okay. Question, Lord. Okay. Is this going to hurt? God says, it will be the deepest of all possible pain. And you're going to feel it. Hosea, it's going to break your heart. It'll break your heart. But it's too late. You already said he and any, okay? See, that's what we have to be willing to do. If we say hineni, stuff comes with that we don't necessarily plan on. That's the way it works. You see, Hosea, God would say, I have loved my people with an unending and enduring love, but they have not loved me back. But more than illustrate, I'm going to actually have you feel what I feel. Not just dramatize it, but you're going to feel it in your heart. Same things I feel, you're going to feel. And then you're going to go tell it to Israel. You're going to say, this is how it feels. This is how God feels with your behavior. The deepest of all human emotions is when a man and a woman are in love with each other. There's nothing deeper. The closest possible relationship is when two hearts become one. Echad is the word that's used of that in the Bible. Echad. Hosea would be his own sermon, okay? And I've got to tell you, this is a test for Hosea. He does pass. It's a test. Hosea, you know, God tested Abraham. God tested several of his prophets. This is a big test for Hosea. The woman that he gave his whole heart to would not be faithful to him. But he might say, you know what? I'm a prophet. I have some questions, Lord. You know what? When I go to prophesy, what about my reputation? You know, my reputation? What about my name? My credibility? You know, the elders might say, excuse me, Hosea, you know, it's about your wife here. It's about your wife. See, God's plan. By the way, I didn't mention that she was not just unfaithful. She was a prostitute. She was on purpose unfaithful for money. The prophet's wife, okay? It's about your wife, Hosea. It's almost always God's plan for a man and a woman to be a team together in ministry. The book of Acts, we have that. In unity, together, same vision, everything the same, okay? But look at this one. The prophet and his wife, the prostitute. Doesn't exactly look like a fit to me. God said, I want you to do that because you're going to feel some stuff that I feel. I want you to feel what I feel inside. It'd almost be like, I'm probably going to be sorry this is on tape, but maybe we could write a book today called The Pastor and His Wife, the Hooker, okay? I mean, but that's what you have. That is the picture you have here. It's like, it's going to get worse, too, in a few minutes here. In this whole thing, Hosea was to show something by his deep and committed love for Gomer. Love is demonstrated on the outside, not just the inside. The kind of love that God has for Israel. It's being demonstrated to this woman. Okay? God would say to Hosea, when things are getting tough, go out and find Gomer. Okay? Bring her back when she strays. Now, you got to think in terms of the reality of this. If they're making an R-rated movie today, you know, where would Gomer be? Motel, whatever, so on. Go find her. How do you find her? You start asking the men, you seen this lady look like? Oh, yeah, she's your wife, okay? And bring her back. Okay, man, you got to start thinking what this would feel like if this was you. What would that feel like? You have to go look for her at a hotel, a motel somewhere, and knock on a few doors, find her, and then bring her. How are you feeling about now, huh? God said, go again. And love her. Love her under these circumstances. Because God is saying, I love Israel. Under those circumstances, you're going to tell them how I feel, how much I hurt. God put this love for Gomer into Hosea's heart. This is not normal. You know, it's like normal would be, see you later, bye, here are the papers. This is not normal. God put this love in his heart. Hosea, through the eyes and heart of his love for Gomer, comes to see and to feel Israel's sin. Sin against God in its deepest significance. The most painful pain a man can feel is this stuff right here. Okay? But Hosea continues to love with a pure, deep, tender, sensitive love. Just like God. That's the picture. He's behaving like God. But the pain is deep in his heart. And I got to tell you, that's not a figure of speech. It's actual real pain really in your heart. It hurts right there. It hurts bad. But he keeps forgiving Gomer. After she sells her body, has a string of lovers for selfish gratification. Now, what's he thinking now? Okay, men, women too. What's he thinking? I must not be good enough. You know, when I make love to her, it's not, these guys are better than me. Okay, that's how people think, okay? Okay? That's what he's thinking. It's like all these other people. Yeah. That's what you're thinking. Okay? But she's doing it for selfish gratification. And it goes so far as to bring her to a point where she's sold into slavery. Because it's like a contract. You know, you sign up at the brothel, and they own you. That still happens today. And that's what happened to her. And so what does he do then? He goes and he finds her and he buys her. He redeems her. He pays money to buy her back out of that contract. He wants to bring her back and restore her. That's how much he loves her. It's a picture of redeeming grace. You know, we use that word like, you know, it's so simple. It's not so simple. It takes a lot. But this is a picture of God's heart, redeeming grace. He purchases his own wife. The concept is redemption. I can't believe all the songs we sang this morning that in the scriptures that fit into my message, even the men's talk this morning. It all fits. He purchases his own wife. It's redemption, paying something to bring something back to the place it was. And there's restoration. He wants to restore. The picture, we sang one of the songs, God also redeems his people. He buys them back. Yeshua pays the price in full, all of it, because he loves you. He loves his people. But Hosea is now experiencing personal heartbreak, I mean, the worst possible. Through personal heartbreak, he comes to understand the actual depth of God's love for Israel. And now he can tell Israel how God feels. These aren't facts, Israel. This is God feels. God has emotions. He made us in his image. That's how he is. But he feels this kind of stuff. Okay? But he's learning and he's understanding the depth of the love of God. Sin, our sin. You know, this is Shabbat Shua return. Sin isn't just a violation of a list of things we're not supposed to do. It strikes God's heart. Sin is not only breaking God's law, it's breaking God's heart. You have to know that. It's okay, parents, it's like when your kids do something really stupid and dumb with horrible consequences. It breaks your heart when they make a stupid choice, doesn't it? It breaks your heart. Maybe some of you who are older broke your parents' heart. Well, because they love you. If you love somebody, guess what? You stick your heart out there, you might get it broken. Okay? I'll talk more about that later. Sin hurts God. That's the point. He is grieved. He has feelings. God can grieve. We're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? Just when we think it's getting bad, it's going to get worse. How does it get worse? Okay, men, tune in. You can tell me how you feel now. Gomer has 3 children. Only one is Hosea's. The other 2 are from somebody else. Okay, man, how would you feel if your wife got pregnant by another man? 2 different men. How would you feel about that? You're starting to feel like Hosanna, huh? Starting to tune in a little bit here. You know? What a test. I mean, what God is showing his people is how far away, you know, when they stray away, it's like this. When you stray away, it's like this. She got pregnant twice by somebody else, 2 different guys. Hosea is grieving. He has a wounded heart. He's lonely. He's been rejected. Rejection is the worst part of this, by the way. Rejection is the worst part. And he's broken. But he's broken not because he sinned. You know, this holiday, if God breaks us because of our sin, we're to come back. He didn't sin. He's broken because of somebody else's sin that affects him. It affects his heart. When a woman he loves sins, it breaks his heart. That's what God is saying. That's right. And when you sin, Israel, it breaks my heart. He's a victim. Somebody else's sin affects him. He's a victim. He didn't do anything wrong. But he's the one that's hurting, not Gomer. And just when you think it can't get any worse, it gets worse. How can it get worse? Well, now Gomer leaves again, only this time she leaves him with the kids, two of which are not his. So he has to raise the kids, two of which were fathered by a relationship in prostitution. It's getting worse, isn't it? But through it all, Hosea stays. Now listen to this. What does Hosea do at this point in time? Okay, let's back up a little bit. Men and women, some of you in this room have gone through divorces. We discussed this morning at the men's thing. Okay, here's a common thing that happens. Okay, soon the word gets out that you're separated or something, okay? Let's take it from a man's perspective, okay? What happens is that all of a sudden your phone starts ringing, and women you know now or have known in time past start calling you and offering consolation and all kinds of things and wanting to come over at 11 o'clock at night and talk and stuff like that. And all of a sudden they see your vulnerability, they start taking advantage of that, okay? And it works with women the same way, with men, because they're taking advantage of you. Don't let anybody ever do that. That's wrong, it's sin, okay? And they're not honest, okay? But Hosea could have possibly done that. But through the whole thing, he stays faithful to her. He doesn't say, I'll go look for somebody else. He stays faithful to her. Why? Because he loves her. That's why. That's the point of what God is saying. Demonstrate how I love. I'm going to be faithful, no matter what. That's what he's saying. And then he tries to win her back after all this. He really loves her. That's the point. His love was so strong that the worst possible actions of an unfaithful wife wouldn't kill that love. That's love. That is love. Can you imagine in the morning, here's Gomer and Hosea and the three kids, and they're having breakfast, and she says, okay, I'm going to work now. See you tonight. How he feels about that? When the work she goes to is, you know what? That's how he's feeling. He's not feeling too good, is he? Okay? He marries someone unworthy of him. He's the prophet. He's the prophet. And most would view her as a worthless woman. A worthless woman. But you know what? He doesn't. He doesn't. He sees her different. Because he loves her. He really loves her. And even all that stuff doesn't affect his heart. He's hurt, but he doesn't stop loving her. He loves her. He forgives her. God's illustration through him was to show Israel how much he loves them, how much Israel loves them. In spite of their sin, and that's what the purpose of the holiday is. We read, "You have Israel, you have sinned, but God hasn't stopped loving you. And the door is open to come back, to be restored, to come back into fellowship." That's how God feels in his heart. He's wounded, he's hurt. But there's grace and mercy, and the invitation is to come home. His heart is grieved, and our sin grieves his heart. It wasn't just back then. This is a picture of God's heart and God's love. As he longs, and I know the last song, there was a longing in the heart. I go, all these words are in my message. All right, the longing in someone's heart. It's a picture of his love, how he longs for his people. But he longs for them to come home, into a relationship with him. The longing is for love, that love can be known. If you come into his arms, he wraps them around. He doesn't spank you, okay? He brings you home into his arms to love you. I'll show you how I know in just a few minutes, okay? He's longing for his people to come home. The longing is for love. And the pain of this whole thing is in the rejection. Love, when you love someone and that love is being rejected, that's pain. Yearning. There's a yearning in God's heart for reconciliation. Yearning in God's heart for restoration. And the book ends, and we read those verses earlier, with God's heart once again saying to Israel, "Oh Israel, return to me. Return to me, your God, your Lord. Come back to me. I long for your return. The doors are open. My heart is aching. Please come home. Come home to me." In that last section that we read, these words all appear. It's an invitation for restoration, reconciliation, for love freely, no strings. The past won't be brought up. It's not going to be brought up because forgiveness buries the pasts. And he says, no more anger. I won't be angry if you just come home. That is true forgiveness. What that is, that's a picture of true forgiveness. It's not like, well, you know, three or four times a month I'm going to bring this past sin up again. You can't do that. If it's forgiven, it's forgiven, and you leave it alone. You bury it. You never dig up the hatchet. It stays buried. He's saying, please return to the one who loves you unconditionally. You know, this is a picture of unconditional love. We can use the word and talk about it, but when this happens to Hosea, he says, I know what that means now. Unconditional love. We don't deserve it. It's grace. This is a picture of how much God loves you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. You know, if someone were to ask you that question, how much does God love me? What you might say is this, well, let's go back in time, a couple thousand years, to Jerusalem. Go out the Damascus Gate, to some crossroads, there's a place called Skull Hill. See that? Yeah, there's three crosses there. Okay. The person on the middle cross is the Messiah. He's paying for your sin. That's how much he loves you. All of your sin, he is paying for. He's redeeming you. That's how much he loves you. Hosea is also a picture of biblical love. I mentioned weddings earlier. This is my little card I read at weddings. I've had this for a long time. Okay? Biblical definition of love. It also describes Hosea. Also describes Yeshua. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges, will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to them no matter what the cost. You will always believe in them, always expect the best of them, and always stand your ground in defending them. There are three things, faith, hope, and love, that continue forever, but the greatest of these is love. He did it. He did it. What's fun is you put Yeshua's name in there, and it fits really nice. That's what he's like as well. Well, with that in mind, let's go to the next portion, Micah chapter 7. Take your Bibles and turn there, please, because we have the answer kind of to the questions in Hosea. Micah 7. We'll go to verse 18. Here's the question. Who is a God like you? Now, you see, all the prophets speak to the transgressions of Israel. We soon get the picture that Israel should be in lots of trouble here, okay? And rightly so. But look at how Micah ends his book. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity? See, when God, at the end of Hosea, says, Israel, come back. Why? This is what he wants to do. Pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. That would be you. He does not retain his anger forever, but he delights in mercy. And he will again have compassion on us. Whoa. And verse 20 talks about, it's because of the promises he made to Abraham. He made promises that he's going to keep. He is faithful. Turn to Joel. One of the readings today as well. We'll start with verse 12. Joel's interesting because this actually takes us up, if you do the whole reading, to something else, which I'll show you, which is really neat. Verse 12. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me. Or return with all your heart. Now, this sure fits into this week, doesn't it, leading up to Yom Kippur. That's why the ancient rabbis put this reading at this spot, okay? Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. That's Yom Kippur. That's a picture of Yom Kippur right there. So rend your heart and not your garments. Anybody can rip their clothes, but it's your heart that God wants to touch and speak to, okay? Because that's where the pain is. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. That's what he's like. That's what Hosea was like. God says, I want you to tell them what I'm like, Hosea, but I also want you to tell them what I feel, because this is no teehee, it's no small thing. I'm that close to my people that I feel things for them, and when they turn their back on me, I feel pain, and it's unbelievable pain, unbelievable pain. But there's one more verse in the whole reading I left out. I'd like you to go there now, in Joel. Got to find Joel again. Okay, verse 25, same chapter. So this whole thing is the promises of what happens when you return. So Lord said, so I will restore to you, this is a good one, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Okay, I wanted to bring that up because some of you have had some pretty deep pain and made some mistakes. And in your mind, you're thinking, I've lost some time. I've lost a lot of time. God promises he'll restore the time. Okay, he'll restore the time. He doesn't say the minutes. I'll restore minutes, hours, days. He restores years. His restoration gives you years. Okay, that's a promise for some of you in this room right now. That when you think, you know what? It hasn't come together for me. He's promising that he'll give you those years. Maybe the years up to now have been preparation for what lies ahead, that if you'd done something else, you wouldn't have been who you are right now. Because who you are is where he's brought you for what is next. It's quality, not quantity. The years. Okay, now back to Deuteronomy, where we started. 31. We started with this verse, my favorite. We'll almost end with it, not quite. And the Lord, this is for you. He is the one who goes before you. That is good news. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. There's a lot of reasons to get discouraged, isn't there? The Lord said, don't be discouraged. Because the years you think have been wasted or lost haven't. It's quality, not quantity. God is faithful to his word. This whole picture is that of God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his people and the promises he made to them. And God is faithful to you and the promises that he's made to you. Write them down. He hasn't forgotten them. The timing is the hard part, isn't it? But you know, I can't help but think of Gideon. All of a sudden, the angel appears to Gideon. Remember, he's hiding in he's threshing wheat in a wine press. You don't do that, but he's hiding. You mighty man of valor, God is with you. Who are you talking to? But right away, what Gideon says is, well, if the Lord is with us, then how come all these awful things? And he goes down the whole list of things that have gone wrong. All right? But it was true. But it was timing. God's timing is now. Okay? God's timing is now. And God's timing will be now for you. God is faithful to his people, to his promises. He's faithful to you. At Shabbat Shuvah, maybe the most important verse is this. It's from Yeshua in John chapter 6. He said this, he that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. You might say, but you don't, maybe you didn't notice that I did this. It's not what he said. He that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. But Lord, you know, I did, where were you when I did? I was on the cross paying for, I paid for that. Every bit of it. I paid for it in full. Yeah, but I know that. I paid for that. That's how much I love you. But if you come to me, I will never cast you out. But I deserve, I know. See, we're without excuse because the grace that we're being offered is more than free in the sense of it's beyond what we can imagine. If you come to him, he won't cast you out. You deserve it. He doesn't give us what we deserve. That's called grace. That's called grace. In Israel, and they prayed a prayer like, Lord, put in my heart how you feel about our people. Okay, be careful. And the Lord did, and she doubled over in severe pain, almost having a heart attack, had to go to the hospital. The pain was so intense in her heart. She said, that's how you feel about my people, our people? She's Jewish. God said, yeah, that's how I feel. And like Hosea, he's saying, I want you to go tell him how I feel. Okay? Okay. Okay. Another part of this too, and this has happened to me, where it's not the same parallels at all, but it's like you're praying for someone and God says, okay, I'm going to put in your heart what's in my heart for that person so you can feel, so you can know how much I love them. Well, I believe how much you love them. No, I want you to know how much I love them. Pow. Pow. Ooh. Because you experience the depth of his love, of his love. Those aren't words. Okay, those aren't just poetry or music. It goes into the deepest possible places in a person's heart. You say, wow, you really love that person, don't you? And he loves you. He loves you. And the call is to return to the God that loves you that much because he wants you to come home. And only in his arms will you find true forgiveness and restoration. And it'll never be brought up again. This is the Shabbat to come home. Okay, I want to stop right here and spend a few minutes as a congregation in prayer. Because a part of this Shabbat Shuvah is to pray for Jewish people to return to their God. When I was invited a few years ago to speak at a conservative synagogue, that was what I said. I said, God wants you to come home to him because you've left him. I thought I was going to get shot, but they shook their heads and said, yep, you're right. You're right. He wants you to come back to him. I didn't even know anything about this at that time, and I was saying the right stuff. I wanted this morning to pray for Jewish people because in this week, this is what they're talking about. Pray that he'll take his word and his spirit will take that and pierce their hearts and they'll say, I need to come home to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and to his word. Okay, that's part one of the prayers. Then I want us to pray, mingling it's fine, for particular Jewish people that you know, believers or non-believers, who need a special touch from the Lord right now. Okay? And then I will close by praying for the peace of Jerusalem and the benediction. So let's pray. If God is, okay, if you want to pray out loud, feel free. But first of all, pray for Jewish people. They're celebrating these holidays. May it become a reality to them. Let's pray for them. And what a wonderful invitation you're giving to come back. To come back to the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. And that you offer forgiveness and restoration. And all of the promises that you gave to Abraham, you will keep. May this be the beginning of an awakening. It may start right here. I'd like us all to stand, please, as we continue in prayer. Lord, we focus now to your favorite city, Jerusalem. And as the synagogues there have been, and they're continuing to look at these scriptures and to pray. And the sound of the shofar has been going out, and they've been hearing the call to repentance. Maybe something that you would take the sound and touch the heart with and show them their need, but show them what you are like, that you are the kind of God we've just described, and that you're willing to forgive anything and everything. And I pray that they would, in fact, come back, be restored, be renewed, be refreshed, and that their eyes would be opened to the ultimate of forgiveness, Yeshua the Messiah, the ultimate provision, that you provided everything that your people need. We thank you and pray that you would put your shalom on your city, the city that Yeshua wept over. May we weep for that same city. Yevarechacha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavalecha v'chanecha. Yisa Adonai panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. Amen. We're sounding the shofar up through Yom Kippur. It's still a call to repentance. It may be for some of you, but if not, it's for all of them. We're going to sound it, and as I sound, you pray continually for the salvation of God's chosen people. The day is coming that the eyes will be opened. Are you ready when that happens? Because we have a great responsibility to them. Hallelujah. Amen.